Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Thoughtful Disgust podcast. Thoughtful Disgust is the home for avowed centrism and sober analysis where thesis and antithesis are heard equally in an attempt to form a reasonable synthesis. Join me here for a sensible take on our increasingly polarized public discourse. All right, guys, Joe Biden yesterday on Wednesday gave his essential exit speech from the White House, gave very little in terms of a justification for why he was actually leaving. Speculation is rife about that. But more importantly, this speech underscores what is really probably one of the most shocking months in politics. We are less than 1 month from his disastrous debate performance, and what has happened in that period of time is about this. Joe Biden had a shocking debate performance, fought against all of his detractors who were trying to push him out while he flailed in the polls. He continued. Then Donald Trump was almost assassinated, which caused him to spike in the polls, and then he had an appearance at the RNC, which also caused a spike. Let's be clear about this. Joe Biden is out of the race because he knew he was losing. And yet he's firm. He says in this speech, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. That just sounds like someone who's looking at you right in the eye and lying. And of course, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who I'm sure has had a nightmarish month, let's just be honest about it. I'm sure she is trying to take all kinds of cues from Star Wars and trying to figure out whatever Jedi mind tricks she can do to convince people that the president of the United States isn't old enough to be the father of Yoda. She gets asked at the press conference whether or not this decision had to do with Joe Biden's health, and she says no. She's still saying no, which begs the question still of why. And I guess if we go by Biden's own words, he said that only an act of God or a message from Lord Almighty would have him dropping out of the race. I guess that happened. No, that probably didn't happen. What probably happened, in my vision, is that he continued until every single person that he thought was his supporter stabbed him in the back. And why did they stab him in the back? They stabbed him in the back because they weren't willing to run the risk of him losing. While he was willing to run the risk. If there was a 30% chance that Joe Biden was going to be the next president, that was the right move for Joe Biden. To everyone else who wasn't only concerned with Joe Biden's personal ambition, these disastrous odds were dangerous and insurmountable, not just for Joe as a future president, but indeed at the Electoral College, at the polling places, at the voting booths. And now Joe tries to present this as a win for democracy. There was nothing democratic about this. This was an aristocratic coup against him that became too much for him to handle. Now, the speech in itself had precious little about the DNA that we all know is on the dagger that stabbed Joe Biden in the back, and it's the DNA of Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, and all of the other elites in the Democratic Party. He's probably having a hard time articulating this, though, because they're the people who put him up in 2020, and he has had a complicated relationship with them. Recall, in 2016, Barack Obama asked Biden not to seek the election against Donald Trump. Asked him to stand down and let Hillary have it. In 2020, he finally had their blessing, but only because the only alternatives were unelectable radical leftists. In 2020, Bernie Sanders was pushed aside for Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris was added to the Joe Biden ticket. Neither of those two politicians were the honest-to-God choices of the Democratic Party. This has nothing to do with democracy. I hate to use the metaphor of nuclear bombs, but just bear with me for a second because I think it's important. When you drop a nuclear bomb somewhere, almost everything dies, but there are cockroaches that will sometimes survive this. Now, I don't want to imply Joe Biden is anything like that at all. Just hear me out. The part of Joe Biden's mind that is concerned with advancement and ambition and self-gratification is significantly stronger than the rest of his mind and body that decayed to the point that it was almost unable to put a sentence together a month ago at this debate. It was willing to survive anything. It was able to survive anything. And maybe even after stepping down, he's still maintaining this in his brain, that he is this young, youthful, polymathic wizard when he can barely get through a sentence on a teleprompter. Joe Biden barely remembers the words of our language, how to do math, how to do any of the number of tasks that were necessary for him to be president. But one thing he keenly remembers, he wanted this since he was 30, and he was in the Senate for 40 years before he got his opportunity. He was not going to let go of this unless it became apparent that this was going to be a stain on his legacy, or that he was going to be forced out by the people who put him there. Now, I'm being really tough on Joe Biden, and I'm sure a lot of people are upset about that, but guess what? I'll tell the truth here. Donald Trump is no friend of democracy either. He wrongfully tried to overturn the 2020 election when there was no evidence whatsoever that anything subversive happened in that election. Joe Biden won the popular vote by 7 million the last time around, okay? So to say that Joe Biden wasn't at least the duly elected president of the 2020 campaign is wrong, okay? So he was. That part of it is true. So what can we do now that we know that both of these candidates are not committed to democratic principles? Is this a different situation than it's historically been? Yeah, I think both parties have done some damage to the system here. And as people become more aware of what actually did happen here, the skepticism around democracy and the way we've carried it out will increase. So here is what I would suggest for people who are concerned about the process. I would suggest holding both parties to account, taking both of them to task, making your criticisms of the process known in both the primary and the general election. Okay? Donald Trump and the GOP distracted about what the actual issue here. The actual issue is not people's votes not being counted or dead people's votes being counted or bellwether states or any number of things that were presented by Trump. The problem here is that the entire system is geared towards elites who make decisions like this, propagandists who do not tell the truth about the process, and news agencies who are willing to cover up exactly what's going on, okay? I don't have to play the sound clips. Everyone knows that for months, the lie of Joe Biden's health was told on every single major news organization. And the only reason they stopped is because it got right in everyone's faces. This is not going to happen by lionizing and trusting one side while disavowing the other. This is going to be a conscious process of looking at the policies and the conventions that define who gets to obtain a nomination or an election. In closing, I just want to say a couple of words that I think are important. I have just really, really criticized the Biden administration and Joe Biden, and I've been verbose about the fact that this administration has been wrongly lionized by the press and that this last couple of months has been, what else are you going to say? A great cover-up attempt. And it's gone on for longer than the last couple months. It's probably gone on since 2020, if we're being honest about it. But at the same time, Joe Biden was our duly elected president. He deserves our respect, even if our perspective must be fashioned to the manner of his exit.